Welcome to the Sexy Life Podcast, where you can get your healthy dose of sexy insights from high achievers living the sexy life. Join Lucy, your host, on the journey to a happy, fulfilling, sexy life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Sexy Life Podcast. I'm Lucy, your host, and today we have with us Jolie Cash of Nature's Whisper, home of Hot Mama Yoga. And through the empowerment of reinventing herself, Jolie has committed to the empowerment of others through the teachings of authenticity and using life's lessons and pleasures for spiritual growth. Her teachings focus on the integration of wisdom and intuition in order to release the old and make room for the new. Jolie is a multi-passionate entrepreneur who supports others in their life and business journeys, and you can find her in the studio on the mat teaching yoga or teaching others how to teach yoga. So Jolie, without any further ado, please highlight anything else about yourself that you'd like to share.
Oh gosh, thank you, Lucy, for having me. I always like to talk about authenticity because it's one of the areas that as women, we have to really be focused on holding true. And so I really like to just go into the fact of authenticity is one of the things that I struggle with the most. Being authentic is what I really struggle with the most. So I always like to throw that out there when people say, oh, she's so authentic. I say, oh, but wait, I have to really work at being authentic. Yeah. And you know, supporting other women really comes from the fact that I really want to support myself. Yeah. I really want to be the most empowered I can be. And I can't do that without slipping up and being inauthentic and, you know, hitting that other side. And so that's what I really love the most about working with women is they're constantly calling me to step up, to be better and be more authentic. And so I always like to put it out there that my bio sounds really awesome and perfect, but I don't always feel perfect. And that's where the reinvention comes in daily.
Yeah, the reinvention is an ongoing process. It's not like it happens one time when you're done.
I have a friend that says that the best thing I do in life is reinvent myself. I think he means is like through my businesses and my, you know, the different jobs I've held and the different ways that I, you know, get into bad relationships, reinvent myself, you know. He says that's the best thing I do in life. And I think, well, aren't we all doing that every single day?
Yeah, maybe you're just you seem more adaptive and taking it in stride.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of a control freak, but you know, being a control freak allows you to see all of the different areas that you get to let go for sure. Because being a control freak is really uncomfortable in the heart space first, but also in the body.
Yeah. It holds our body holds on to a lot.
Yeah. And you know, change happens every 3 seconds. If we can really bring ourselves to understand that and to embrace that, then we know that we can make any other changes with simplicity.
Yes. Yes. And I love that you really embrace all of the lessons, you know, from life and apply them toward growth instead of being a victim or blaming.
That is I'm the world's greatest victim, Lucy. That's another part. You know, I'm a really good victim. And again, it shows me the easiest way to be authentic is by being a victim. It's not a comfortable place to be. And I can also recognize victimhood, if you would, in others so easily, because I'm like, oh, I have that.
Yes.
It's walking through life as a mirror and receiving others as a mirror. You know, I love when I get someone in my life that pushes all my buttons and I just want to run. And I'm like, wait a second. This is why they're there, to show me that I'm being a victim.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've got that one down.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have that awareness too, that they're that person who pushes all your buttons is a big gift to you and your growth. Yeah.
I like to say that people come into your life as a gift and a lesson. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, I'm your gift and you're my lesson, but it goes the other way around too. You're definitely my gift and I can give you lessons. Yeah. And I don't know where I learned that. There was a book or something I read way back when I was really searching, but I thought, you know, if I can look at every experience like that, even the ones that are really painful, you know, relationships that have fallen away where, you know, I really didn't mean for it to fall away or it was meant to fall away. If I can really see that as a lesson and then say, wow, that was really my gift. And then also in the good times too.
Yeah. Let's not forget about the good times.
I know, right? That's the balance. That's what I love about yoga. I think that's why I've been embracing yoga for so long, going on like 24 years now. And I just feel like that's what yoga is. Yoga is that union. Yoga is actually means yoke, and yoke means union. Mm. And it's that union of, you know, left and right, front and back, sun and moon, you know, that's really all of it. And so if life's cruising along, perfect. We don't really understand the discomfort and what that can bring. And it's also yoga called tapas. The friction is when we purify. So the purification, that fire, the tapas means fire. And when we can step into that fire, you know, that's when we transform.
Yes. So with the transformation, and of course, like we just touched on, you have experienced a lot of reinvention, transformation, awareness of where, you know, the authenticity comes to play. What is the message that you're the most passionate about sharing right now?
The message that I'm most passionate about sharing, and I'll stay away from birth because I'm really into women keeping their voice in birth. But if I really think about it, my greatest passion is to speak your truth and to not tiptoe around something because someone else might be uncomfortable about it. You know, there's butterflies all over my yoga studio, and I didn't mean to do that. They just showed up from different people for different reasons. And that transformation, you know, it's very painful to break out of a cocoon. And so when women come in their cocoon, I'm very, very passionate about having that space for women to speak their truth. So for instance, in working with a woman the other day who works with me, I had said to her, you know, I was uncomfortable and unhappy about the way something was going. And she said, well, you know, it just always depends on your mood. And I got really angry at first. I was like, well, that's really mean. I'm under a lot of pressure. Like, she can't say that to me. And then I had to step back. I was like, okay, wait a second. And I told her, I said, that's really mean. But when I stepped back and I thought about it and we related a little bit deeper into it, I thought she was comfortable with keeping her voice with me. And for me, there's nothing greater and more empowered than a woman that can step up and tell me exactly how she felt. And it was true. It had to do with my mood. And so it was something I needed to see. And so a woman that keeps her voice, I'm very passionate about sharing how to do that. And a lot of times, you know, I'm blamed or criticized for being crass or too aggressive, or, you know, I could think of a million other words. You can read Yelp about them too. But for me, I'm okay speaking that truth. If it hurts somebody in the moment, I'd rather it be that than speaking something that isn't fully true and having them go on life thinking that it's okay to be that way. You know, like I offered that lesson to this woman that works with me because we work closely spiritually as well. And she would have never spoken up like that had I not given her the space to do that. So for me, I just want women to speak their truth and like really their truth, not just like, oh yeah, this is who I am.
Because I mean, that's really authentic. They're real, not what somebody else wants them to say or expects them to say.
I want a woman to come up to me, and it actually happened today, and say, you know, thank you for talking about abuse in the way that you did. I was sexually abused once. And I don't think if that space is open for women to keep their voice, women wouldn't be comfortable talking about it. You know, they wouldn't be comfortable saying it. And the first, you know, if you have arthritis, the first way to heal something to where you feel better is to acknowledge it. And women, there's a lot of times women just like shut that down. No, I'm not even going to acknowledge that he touched me in that way, or I'm not going to acknowledge that I'm experiencing this physical abuse or this mental abuse or however, you know, or whatever. It doesn't even have to be abuse. If we're not acknowledging what's happening, it's not going to heal. And our world needs a lot of healing. And it begins with the women because we're raising the children.
So what is a good, what is one way that you recommend women acknowledge those moments?
Well, it's awareness. And so that's a real cliche word. And I think the easiest way to have awareness, we've talked about this before, is with the breath. So if we stop long enough to take a breath and pay attention to our breath, the sound of the breath, the vibration of the breath, the feeling of the breath, and so even the taste of the breath, that will take us into a state of a calm mind, which then becomes meditation, which really what we're doing is concentrating. And so it brings us to a place of inner awareness where, you know, we are so distracted by life. The tiniest little things, just in talking with you, you know, I'm worried, is the thing going to fall over? You know, that kind of thing. It's really important that we have that deep inner awareness of who am I in the stillness? Because when the chaos comes in, I have to still hold that place. So when there's chaos coming at me, somebody yelling at me, somebody maybe, you know, telling me I'm horrible, whatever, I have to have the inner awareness and remember first, I'm beautiful. I'm authentic. I'm true to myself. And then the words that come back out are going to be real. And so it's the breath. And so they tell you all the time when you're parenting, you know, when you're a mom, stop, take a couple breaths and then parent, you know, and that's why they do that, because it brings you back to the place of like, I'm not the animal that wants to just scream at this child. I am a woman that sees this beautiful child struggling. Now that's, you know, and that right there is a really big key for me as a mother, by the way. We could go on another conversation.
Oh my goodness.
You know, to remember who I am at my deepest core, and also to acknowledge that I'm also wounded. There's been things in my life that I'm wounded and I'm sad and I'm scared and I have fear. And if we can acknowledge those things, if we want to be the happy-go-lucky, I'm perfect on social media person all the time, then we're not going to get there. We're not going to have the place of being able to tell someone, yeah, I'm scared, I'm wounded. Mm-hmm. And that hurt. Yeah. That really hurt me as a 3-year-old, and it's still with me, you know, or whatever it is, the boyfriend when you're 16, you know, to have that awareness moving forward in how we relate with everybody, and especially relating with other women. We take out our wounded bird on other women because they're the easiest to do it, because they're also the most sensitive.
Yeah. So you mentioned something about stillness, right? And I see a common thread when we are reinventing ourselves. You know, there is a lot of that going through the fire sometimes. What do you see in your practice and how you empower women? What is the role of stillness in that?
The role of stillness for me, gosh, I hate to keep going back to the breath, but it's so powerful for me.
Yeah.
Is that I like to focus on the spaces between the breath. You know, we're so focused on the inhale and the exhale and, you know, stop, take a breath and, you know, feel your lungs expand in everyday life. There's that place between the breaths. So when I inhale, I'm bringing in that life, right? I'm bringing in a fresh way of thinking. There's a space after that to absorb.
Oh yeah.
The other part of my practice is that, you know, and this is another conversation around where the movement in the world is going. But when I'm actually moving my body, I like to slow it down. I can teach a really hard energetic class and those are great. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. But when we slow it down and take that moment between the poses to stop and go, how did that feel? And then I use that as a philosophy for life, you know, between tasks. Yesterday, I was trying to do 4 newsletters in one day. That's just, if you ever know newsletters, that's insane.
That's a lot.
And I had my son most of the day.
Oh my gosh.
So for me, it was like, okay, I got this one done. And so I'm going to stop and I'm going to take a breath. And I played with my son. And that to me was stillness. Come back to it. Do another one. Taking a break between tasks, stopping between tasks, between thoughts, between stresses, and just being in that moment, I think really helps us find the stillness a little bit easier in our everyday life. So that when you're cruising through life, you can just kind of go, ah, okay, I'm going to take a moment and then I'm going to keep going, especially when you're really, really busy.
Yeah. Especially in the days when we're really busy, we need that. We need to make sure that we really incorporate those moments.
Mm-hmm. And we think technology is helping us with that. It is not. There's no stillness in technology. Because you know what I do sometimes? I find myself, okay, here's a moment. Daniel's building a tower. That's his thing right now, building towers. I'm going to just lay on the sofa and take a moment. But what do? I pick up my phone.
Yeah.
And I use it as an excuse like, oh, I need to do some Facebook marketing. Well, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Yeah. It's just the mind that wants to fill that space up with more stuff.
Well, isn't that addiction in all realms?
Yeah.
Even in the body. Yeah. So I went back sugar-free again a couple weeks ago. And, you know, now what I'm in that space right now is exactly what you said. I'm like, I got to fill that space with something. So I'm eating a ton of fruit. So I don't necessarily feel any better because I'm still getting all the sugar load, but I'm slowly moving into a different capacity around it. So, you know, maybe it's not that you're Facebooking all the time, but that you're on the replying to texts or emails or, you know, so I find that stillness needs to happen with nothing involved.
Uh-huh.
Of course, your children, you have to work with that, but yeah, nothing involved.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I recognize that I have to work in those moments of stillness. If I don't meditate in the mornings, and I just go straight to demands that everybody has and caretaking and stuff that I get to do and I'm happy to do.
Yeah.
But we need those stillness moments throughout the day. So what has been your most pivotal aha moment so far along the way?
My most pivotal aha moment, because my greatest goal is to, I was not raised in a household where women were entirely respectful. And I'm not just talking about my immediate family, but it was just the way of the times. And I never, ever call a woman a bitch. I've let that word leave my vocabulary unless I feel an old way slip in. So that's been very, very transformational for me, is to lose that word from my vocabulary because it's so easily thrown out there. The second thing has been to really, and I still work on it so much because, again, it's just how we were raised, is that I don't gossip. That's not true. I do gossip. I work on not gossiping, but those two things right there showed me how disempowered I was as a woman towards other women. And then the best thing that has really come to me was a piece of advice from my tantric yoga teacher. She said, if you want to be a better woman, speak highly of other women.
Yeah.
And so that, although I am definitely not perfect at that, I work on it every single day. I want to feel that moment of when it slips up, I want to stop it and change it. And so I work on that every single day. And in that, I ask other women to hold me accountable. So I'm a big, big, big fan of accountability. So if I was to put it all into one nutshell, accountability is really what has been my greatest moment of transformation in becoming an empowered woman and remaining an empowered woman and becoming and being a better woman.
Yeah.
Is being held accountable and offering a space to hold other women accountable. See, that's what I do with my coaching work. You know, I'm not the big fancy online and all that stuff that I think is so beautiful. And I look at others, I'm like, wow, that's so amazing. And really what I just want to do is hold a space for women to feel comfortable to call me and say, you know, like, I need help being accountable, whatever it is, whatever it is, accountable to standing up to the abuse, accountable to your own addictions and, you know, being that way, accountable to the words that slip out of your mouth. Our words have so much power.
Yeah, they do. And we often use them in a damaging way to ourselves.
Or in a manipulating way. You think you need or want something and you manipulate it all the way around to get it that way. But really, it's not what we need. Manipulation is one of the greatest things that I learned from both sides of the coin, where I'm a master manipulator. I'm really good at it. And I would manipulate a whole nother business that I was in, seems like 100 years ago, but it was mostly manipulating men. And I was running these factories of these, you know, beautiful Latin men, and I knew just how to manipulate it. And I realized that in the end, I wasn't getting what I really needed. And so I kind of stopped doing that. And then I got into a relationship where all he did was manipulate me. And I was like, this is how it feels. And so I feel like it's been really important to me to get these neuroses that I have thrown back at me to experience it also.
Yeah.
Again, the balance, the opposite and equal energy that we're offered in life. And it really shows up again in my movement practice of yoga and breathing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing that you pointed out too, that, what I see, and I'm sure you see this too, amongst women, that there's this misconception that controlling a man or manipulating men is somehow empowering to women. It is not, and it doesn't leave us feeling any better.
Oh, worse! We feel so much worse.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was taught by a beautiful mentor of mine is she said that women have the intuition. We know what needs to happen. Men have the muscles and they are the action. So we know what needs to get done and they'll make it happen. But that has to be in balance. We can't. And I tell women all the time when I work in women's group, you know, if we're talking in this way, I'll say, but that doesn't mean you get to go home and manipulate your partner. That means you go home and you share authentically from the depths of your feminine energy. This is what I no needs to happen. And he will immediately, provided you're in a male-female relationship. Now that works the same in same-sex relationships because we all have both energies, but we'll just use the male-female for now, that he will step up and say, oh, she knows that's what needs to happen. I'm going to make that happen. Yeah. Especially because the male energy and the male brain are fixers. They want to fix things. They want to make it happen. That's their job in life. You know, go back to cave days.
Yeah.
She kept the cave and he fixed it all. He brought it in and, you know, he fed the family and all that. So, which just seems barbaric, but that is really, if you look at it from the perspective of energy, that's how it happens. It's our intuition that goes, oh, I need to create a program for women to feel empowered. And it's the action in me that makes it happen.
Yeah.
I have both energies.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So tapping into them in the context that is most beneficial to what we're working towards.
Yeah. And controlling a man is you showing up with the action. There's no feminine energy to that. So he becomes, you know, what people call, I don't know if I'm saying too many bad words on here, but they call, you know, they call, or he becomes pussy whipped, which is horrible term that I hate. And it's like, well, it's because he turns to the feminine. He has to match that masculine energy in order for it to be a balance. So he'll turn to the feminine side of him that people consider him laying down and being, you know, jerked around when that's not what it is at all. It's him matching. He wants to fix it. So he's matching her. And if she shows up controlling, she's showing up in the masculine action.
Yes. And so often when relationships are a little out of whack or balance, that's what's happening.
Yep. There's a great book by David Data called The Intimate Communion. And I can't recommend that book enough to people because it explains it. He says the same thing in every single chapter over and over and over, and it gets so redundant. But by the time you're done reading, you're like, ah, I totally got it.
Yeah. And then it finally clicks.
Yeah. I mean, he even goes into like explaining that Hawaii's feminine and New York's masculine. He goes into like how we have this masculine and feminine in all areas of our lives and how to make it happen in relationship is so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And we could go on about that alone. I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday about it. It's such a fascinating and relevant topic. But right now, could you share with us, what is your vision?
My vision, I have so many. Right now, my vision is to really have that physical space for women. It doesn't have to be my space, because I have a yoga studio, as you know. It's actually a healing center, but my vision is to have that physical space for women to meet one-on-one or in groups, face-to-face, and feel each other in community and lessen the social media connection, or keep that, let's say, and drive, funnel it. There's a good word that everyone knows, funnel it into that one-on-one or community tribe kind of space. We forgot about sitting in circles. We forgot about sitting face to face with people and being each other's mirrors. Mm. And social media is great, but we can be whoever we want on there. And I think that we're losing that authenticity. And so sitting in a circle, if somebody says something, you might shed a tear and you're seen, they see you. On social media, you're not seen. And you go into this place of like, oh, nobody hears me or sees me. And you sit in a living room and cry by yourself. If you're in a circle, you know, we host these women's groups and we sit in the circle together and someone will say something and you see a woman go, ah, I'm not alone. And she can voice back and we can relate with each other. We're losing that relation of, you know, this, what do they call that? Not the sister bride, the sister wife. Feeling of having a sister wife, someone that really sees you and hears you and wants to support you and hold you up when you cry. And I just really want to see that happen again. And I want to feel that more. I just sent a little news article out in my newsletter about how unsupported I felt as a new mom and how when I became a new mom, it felt like all my tribe disappeared. And I just don't want women to feel that. Yeah. And I know a little bit of it was my victim, of course, but I just don't want women to feel alone. I want them to sit together and be like, yes, I see you. I want to be seen. Yeah. I want to be heard and I want to be touched. I want to be hugged by another woman. Yeah. And I believe that sitting in circle is how we can do that. most authentically. It can happen other ways. But yeah. My vision is that those spaces will arise all over the world. And that's where I find great joy in teaching women how to teach others so that they can take it out there and create more gatherings and, you know, more prenatal yoga and more, you know, women-centered yoga and things of that sort. Because there's enough masculine yoga out there. We need to bring in that feminine vibe.
Oh, that is an interesting angle too, because, and I know that you're a doula also.
I am. I'm not a working doula because I'm not on call, but I like to think of myself as a doula to the masses now. Just bring the women into the room all together. But yes, I did work, birth one-on-one with women for many years.
Yeah. Powerful, and that's such a beautiful job. I mean, you're obviously very passionate about empowering women in all these, from all these different angles, you know, and as a mom too, and understanding, having your buttons pushed and and even the birth process of what these women go through and supporting them emotionally and spiritually. It's really neat to see that.
Yeah. You know, we've been giving away, it goes back to that control of the woman trying to manipulate a man. In the same time, the flip side of that is that we give our power away to men. And so we did that in the birth community. We gave it over to the male patriarchal medical world when, you know, they just started taking over with surgeries and such. And so we lost a piece of us and we didn't keep our voice there. And so giving over the power is, you know, it's just as much as manipulating. It's just the flip side of the coin. So keeping the voice is really that, you know, it's just that, it's that greatest part. And, you know, birth is very intimate. And I mean, if you're birthing vaginally, I mean, some women birth C-section, which is also very vulnerable, but when your pelvis is opening up, you're in the most vulnerable state you can ever be in. I mean, there's just no greater vulnerability that I can imagine personally.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're preparing to give birth to this new life, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's all about that.
And you die as a maiden, and you become this woman as a mother. You know, a woman dies in birth. There's a piece of her that just dies off, and it's very unsettling in the postpartum period.
How to make sense of loss.
Yeah, how to get that back? And it's like you're not going to get that back, but this is what you are going to gain. You know, the power of the woman. Shaggy, musician Shaggy, yeah. I think that's his name. He does an awesome song called "The Strength of a Woman." It is one of the most empowering songs ever. I love it. Sometimes I play it in the studio for the women, and they're looking at me like, "Are you crazy?" I'm like, "No, that's it. This is the song. Listen to the words." And the video is even better. The way he just adores these women, like, it's just beautiful. Really beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I have not seen the video. I'm gonna have to go look at that. Yeah.
Pull it up on YouTube. It's awesome. You should post it. It'd be great.
Oh, I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna find it.
Yeah.
So, Jolie, what are you the most excited about today?
The most excited that I am today is, well, besides the fact that my son is just leap and bounds, making all these great, exciting moments, I'm excited to be in this state of motherhood where I finally feel like I crawled out of the darkness. And so I can now I get to go back to the women in the darkness and go, oh my God, I totally get it. Whereas before I was like, I know, doesn't this suck? Like, what are we going to do now? You know,
it's going to be like this forever.
I know. Well, and that's what people would be like,
don't
worry.
Feels like that when you're in it.
Yeah, it does. But I feel like I'm finally out of this darkness as a new mom where I can now step back into it with these women and hold them up through it. Yeah. And at the same time, I'm most excited about the growth that's happening in my business. We have a lot of expansion going on that I have a lot of amazing women that are working with me that understand my vision and want to support it so that I can take more time to create more, because creation is the greatest form of the feminine energy. And I love being in that feminine space. And I've started dancing more. I'm having more dance parties at my house by myself. And so really feeling like not that tired, haggard mom, because I'm out of the darkness and I'm like, oh, I'm going to wax my legs more often. And, you know, now I'm like in that space of really feeling more sexy and powerful and, you know, I'm a single mom, so I'm starting to get more interest from the, from, you know, I date men. So more men are starting to, you know, so I'm real excited about this.
It's like a new phase, a new era.
Yeah. Like as we step out of fall, right, we already dropped, it's like I've dropped all the leaves with the fall. And now I'm coming into that state of like, okay, we're going to be bare for a while here. So I'm feeling very raw and excited about life and a little bit happier about myself as a woman, you know? And I know that that creation is what is going to grow into a greater capacity to create more for the women to gather.
Yes, exactly. And then you continue to reinvent yourself and awaken new things. And then you keep sharing that and facilitating that for others. And it's such a beautiful the way that that works.
Yeah. And the awareness for me is like, to not sit back and go, okay, when is the ball going to drop and that darkness is going to come? It's to be in this moment, to be in that state of awareness, that place of understanding that, yeah, it's going to happen, but right now we're going to flourish in where we're at. And then when that happens, that's the next step.
Yeah.
So and constantly.
Lesson and gift.
Yes. Another lesson and a gift. Exactly. Full circle.
Yeah. And it just keeps happening over and over. And then we just keep to enjoy it. Get to enjoy it. So yeah, this has been a great conversation. And I know we could go on so many different tangents and topics because that you guys who are, you all who are listening, Jolie is seriously a wealth of inspiration and experiences. And she's just a very genuinely caring person with a big vision and a big heart. So Jolie, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and connect with you?
So my business email address is natureswhisper.com. We have a lot of amazing events that happen at the studio. We also have some online fun that we do. And I have teacher trainings that I do 3, sometimes 4 times a year. And we have a lot of different support groups. I also do online, I do voice, I do on the phone business coaching one-on-one. And that's also life coaching as well. I work very intuitively. So it's a wonderful way to connect with your goals of passion and how you would like to expand into kind of your dream vision of what you'd like to be doing. And whether it's work or love or money, whatever it is. And I like to work with people that are just kind of excited about something and don't know how to launch it. Because one of the things I do well is launch businesses and helping them see the big vision. So natureswhisper.com is a great way to connect. I also have a personal website that is joliecash.com. And I can be contacted through either one of those websites. And I love people to follow me on social media. I definitely try and connect with people on Instagram at Jolie Cash. And the same with Facebook is Jolie Cash.
Yes. And I'm going to include the link to all of you listening, the links to both of these websites and Jolie's Facebook page here in the full show notes. So you can
thank you for that.
Yes. And again, all of you listening, seriously, go check out what Jolie's up to. If you live in San Diego, then you're really in for a treat because you get to go visit her studio and see what she's got to offer in person. So, well, thank you, Jolie. Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us.
Thank you so much, Lucy. And I would like to say that I really do desire that all women be empowered in birth and motherhood and that all partners and practitioners will follow our lead.
Yes. Oh, that's beautifully stated.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone so much for tuning in, and here's to you and your sexy life.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sexy Life Podcast. For more resources for your sexy life, visit sexylifecoaching.com. See you there.